I want to suggest a little bit of a new mahalach, something that we've discussed in previous years. Mostly because it will give us an excuse to chazer over some important mitzvahs. This week is Parshas Shkalim. Usually Parshas Shkalim is the Shabbos before Rosh Chodesh Adar. This week is the Shabbos of Rosh Chodesh Adar. There's a chazal, very, very interesting chazal, that when HaKadosh Baruch Hu told Moshe Rabbeinu that Klal Yisrael should bring a half, that every Yid in Klal Yisrael should bring a half shekel to the Beis HaMikdash, that was niskasha Moshe. Moshe had a hard time understanding exactly what it is that they should bring. Until Hashem showed him a machzis ha-shekel shel eish, or shekel shel eish. And he said, Zeh Yitnu, that's why it says Zeh, because it's always Moira Ve'etzba when it says Zeh. Zeh Yitnu, he showed them a shekel shel eish. And this is a pella, because it's not so difficult to understand that they should give a machzis ha-shekel. What does Hashem have to show them? Show them a shekel of fire. Some of them, of course, may ask, what does it have to be a fire to show them a shekel? There's a fascinating daskei mibalei hatosfos in the beginning of Parshas Pekudei. It's very, very hard to understand. I've learned two mahalachim in the past. Neither of them was 100% satisfied. I'm going to try tonight for a third mahalach. It's called, the beginning of Pekudei calls the Mishkan, Mishkan Ho'edus. So the daskeinim and the Pirush HaRosh both bring davar acher shehaya edus lemoishe ki b'shah shechashdu shegonav shkolam imelechas ha-mishkan. It seems that when the Mishkan was built, the Yidden were choshed Moshe that he stole shkolam from the melechas ha-mishkan. They counted up the silver in the Mishkan and they saw that there was shkolam missing. So, Amar Lehem Moshe, Reitza Ani Sheyehei HaMishkan Eidus, I want the Mishkan to testify that I didn't steal. So, V'chazru Umanu, so they recounted. Umatu Shehusmu B'vavin La'amudim, and they found that the extra silver was in the Vavin La'amudim. The Vavin La'amudim were the hooks that were sticking out of the Amudim around the Mishkan to hold the curtains that served as doorways to the Mishkan. And obviously they had forgotten about the Vavin La'amudim. And when they went and rechecked, they found that it was in the Vavin La'amudim was exactly the amount. They were choshed him that he stole 15,000 shkolin. Tetzvav elef shkolin. So they found that it was in the Vavin La'amudim. And they learned it out from the Parsha, in Parsha's Vayakel, it says, V'hamalacha hoysa dayam. Take the Rosh HaTevis of V'hamalacha hoysa dayam, is Vav Hei Dalet. Vav Hei Dalet he says is 15. Is it 15? Mm-hmm. 6 and 5 is 11, and Dalet is 15. Vav Hei Dalet is 15. Those are the 15,000 shkolim that were left over. And then he says, and that's immediately Moshe said 15 praises to Hashem, and they're in Yishtabach, Shiru, Shvacha, Alo, Vazimra, Oizim, Amshala, Nesach, Gedula, Gevura, 15 praises to Hashem. Ukenegda, and that's the 15 Boruchs and Baruch Sha'amar, and the 15 Vavs in Emes, V'yatzev, V'nochen, V'kayim, V'yashar, that's the 15.
Is that related to the 15 Shiramalams?
I'm not sure. I think it is. I think when Rashi said it earlier, he did associate it with the 15 Shiramalams. So it's half live a fell. It's unbelievable. What does it mean that they were choshe, that Moshe Rabbeinu stole 15,000 shekel kesef from the Mishkan? The question is going to get more difficult soon, but just down the pashtus, the classer was choshe that he stole money. It's lo yeomer. It's hard to imagine. I want to go back to the pasuk of Hamalacha Yisadayim. I spoke about it a little bit in Yeshiva over the off Shabbos, but you aren't here. I want to just talk a little bit about Hamalacha Yisadayim, and then we'll get back to this. The Parshas Vayakel is the end of the Binyan HaMishkan. So it says that they were mitzava that the Am should bring donations to the Beis HaMikdash. And so on, to bring all the materials, the 13 materials, to the Mishkan, and the Oisei Melacha came with a complaint to Moshe Rabbeinu. The Marbim Ha'am Lahavi, the nation, they're bringing too much. There's too much stuff pouring in. So Moshe Rabbeinu has had to be Vayavir Kol Bamachane, that you should please stop bringing Nidavis. Ad Kam, we have enough. And then the pasuk says, "V'hamalacha ha'isadayim." There was enough, which is the pasuk that the Das Kanim just brought. "V'hamalacha ha'isadayim v'ha'iser." There was enough, and there was extra. So first of all, in this chabura we already became sensitive to the fact that we don't have stam odd tidbits of historical information in the Torah. If it says about the Binyan HaMishkan that they sent extra, it's necessary for us to know that about the Binyan HaMishkan. It's a necessary ingredient to know about the Binyan HaMishkan that they brought too much. Which is strange, because it was too much. It was a mistake. Like, what's the point of this whole story? It was a mistake. And secondly, the Aruch Chaim HaKadosh asks that it's a stira. It says there was enough. Now, in Hebrew, when we say that there was dai, it's not v'hoiser. It's not proper in Lashon Kodesh to say there was enough and more than enough. Enough means there wasn't more than enough. There was just enough. If there was more than enough, so don't say it was dai. If there was enough, so don't say there was more than enough. But dai and heiser are a stira to each other. How do you have in the same pasuk dai and heiser? That's our Chaim HaKadosh Kashan. It's a stira. And Gimel, the Ramban in Parashas Mishpatim, I'm moving a little bit quicker than usual because of the I have a lot of faith in you guys. So, if at any point you think I'm moving too fast, slow me down.
Slow down.
The Ramban in Parshas Mishpatim brings that when in the times of David HaMelech, when they brought all the Nedavis into the Beis HaMikdash, so they brought in all the Nedavis and everything was there, and David HaMelech couldn't build the Beis HaMikdash because he had spilled blood, so Shlaim HaMelech had to build it, but they made a big simcha, they were makriv karbanis, and they ate sudas, and there was some meach, and they had a tremendous simcha, a tremendous feast, in honor of the fact that they gathered all the materials for the Beis HaMikdash, which is a pella. Imagine someone building a building, and he gathers all the materials for the building, and he doesn't build the building, and he makes a suda. You didn't build a building yet. It's a pella. So the pshat is that the emes is when HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to bring gold and silver and all these things to the Beis HaMikdash, Hashem really doesn't need us to bring it. If Hashem wanted a mishkan, he can make himself a mishkan. Hashem, li ha-kesef v'li ha-zav, Amar Hashem. Hashem has plenty of gold and silver. He doesn't need our gold and silver. What he needs is that in order for Hashem to be Mashra Shechinasei on Yisrael, you need that Klai Yisrael should have a cheshek that Hashem should be Mashra Shechinasei. Nichsoif, nichsafti, liroi, spesiferes, uzecha. We have kisufim, ga'aguim, cheshek, rotzim, that there should be a Ashras Hashchina. And that's what was necessary. And that's why it's so repeated again and again in Truma and in Vayakel, that kol nediv leiv, kol nediv leiv, kol nediv leiv, because what we're really, really looking for is nedivas halev. Now, how do you express the nedivas halev? The keli to carry the nedivas halev is the gold, the silver, the copper, the different materials that you brought. But the etzem, what we need, what HaKadosh Baruch Hu needs is the nedivas halev. The Gra says that the Mishkan is a kibbutz levavos Yisrael. That's really what the Mishkan was. It was a binyan of the heart of Klal Yisrael. So the Iker binyan HaMishkan was the Nidvas HaMishkan. That was the Iker binyan. The building was just putting it, assembling it. But the Iker binyan HaMishkan, the Tzura HaRuchni of the Mishkan, was the Nidavas, the Matanas to the Mishkan. That's why I think Shah and the Pasuk is Parshas Vayakel, Tchum eitchem truma l'Hashem. Take from you, from yourselves, a truma l'Hashem. Kol nediv leiv. Every nediv leiv, every person with a generous heart, yivi'er should bring it as truma l'Hashem. Which, anybody who knows Hebrew knows that that's not proper Hebrew. It should say, either it should say, kol nediv leiv yivi'er, period. It says, bring the truma l'Hashem. Every nediv leiv should bring it. What? What I just said, the truma l'Hashem. Or it should say, if it wants to spell it out, it should say, kol nediv leiv yavi es truma l'Hashem. But yivi'er, bring it, es truma l'Hashem, is a little choppy. Nachon? But lefi dvareinu, it's very, very good. Because we know that S doesn't just mean the, but it means with. It says by Bas Pari, now she gave me a face, I'm going to bring it up right in. It says by Bas Pari that Vayarehu Es Hayelad, that Bas Pari saw him, the Yelad. So the Pasha Shabbat, she says, sometimes it says it that way. She saw him, who? The Yelad. But Chazal say, that she saw him with the Yelad. Who did she see with the Yelad? Melamed Chazal said that she saw the Shekhinah with him. She saw him with the Yelad. She saw the Shekhinah with the Yelad. So Es HaYelad could be with the Yelad. Similarly over here. Kechum Ayitchem Truma L'Hashem. Kol Nediv Leiv. Anyone who has a Nediv Leiv, Yivi'eho should bring his Leiv. Not bring the Truma L'Hashem. Kol Nediv Leiv Yivi'eho Es Truma L'Hashem. He should bring his Leiv together with the Truma L'Hashem. That's the whole thing in Amishkan. And that's the pshat in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, why after they brought all the Nadavs, they could already make a Suda. Because the Suda was that they had expressed their Kisufim and their Gaguim for the Hashoras HaShchina and Klal Yisrael. And that already builds the spiritual Beis HaMikdash. Okay, it has to be assembled. That's already, that's just the finishing touches. The Iker binyan of the Beis HaMikdash or of the Mishkan is expressing the cheshik and the gaaguim, and that they already did. And that's why it's not an extra parasha or an interesting historical tidbit that it says marvim ha'am lahavi, that the nation brought too much. It's not too much to bring too much, because Klal Yisrael has to show that they so want the Ashuras HaShchina and Klal Yisrael that they push it, don't have the physical kalim to contain their excitement, that they should be Ashuras HaShchina. And it be, without cheshbon, they just keep bringing. Marbim ha'am la'avi. Even when Moshe Rabbeinu told them to stop, it says, Vayikolei ha'am mehavi, which I always thought meant that the nation stopped bringing, like a lashon of Vayichulu. The Targum is ufsak, that they stopped. But Rashi, if you look in Rashi, Rashi says on Vayikolei ha'am mehavi, Rashi says, Lashon Meniya, it's a Lashon of holding back. They held back. So I discussed it with someone last week, and he told me that it's not a Lashon of Vayichulu, it's a Lashon of Kela. Kela is a prison. Vayikolei ha'am mehavi means the nation held themselves back from bringing. It's such a beautiful pasuk. They were so excited to bring the Davos to the Mishkan. Marbim Ha'avi. It didn't make any sense. It was already enough there, but they just wanted to show their cheshek. And when Moshe Rabbeinu said stop, you can imagine if I'm giving you something, you say stop. Okay, fine. Stop. No, Vayikolei Ha'am Ha'avi. They had to put themselves in prison. They had to be Meinea themselves. They had to hold themselves back. They still wanted to give. And that's the Gevaldik Atayna on the Nesiyim. That in the same parashas Vayakel, it says that the Nesiyim brought the stones. So Rashi says that it says Nesiyim Chaser Yud, because the Nesiyim said, let everyone bring, and whatever's Chaser will bring. But if the whole point of the bringing is just to show your excitement, if the point of bringing is so that the Rabbi Shem should have his Mishkan, that's a very nice attitude. Whatever's missing, I'll fill in. I'll be a lot, I'll be a little, whatever it is, I'll fill in. Hashem doesn't need your Nedava. Hashem needs your heart. If you're bringing your heart to the Mishkan, it doesn't make sense to say, whatever's left, I'll bring. Bring! Show your cheshek. And that's why Yud was left out of their name. It's written Chaser, because there was a taina on them. It was considered an atzlus, that they didn't have the full hislavos. So Im Kain, getting back to our question, is it Dai or is it Hoyser? Is it Hoyser or is it Dai? It's a steer. Is it enough or is it too much? So I'll tell you what the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says in a second. But last week, Rav Daniel Kalish told me, Pashup Shad on the Pasuk. He learns Pashup Shad on the Pasuk. I think it's very nice Pshat. Avad it was Hoyser. But the Hoyser is Ma'akif. You need there to be too much. Because in order to have a Shechina, you have to show that super excitement. The Hoyser, the too much is Dai. That's enough. When you need too much, so too much is Dai. So it could be Dai and Hoyser. The Aruch Haim HaKadosh takes it one step further. And the Aruch Haim HaKadosh says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu had such a cheshek to be mekabel, this hoyser, that b'derech nes, it fit into the Mishkan. And everything fit, even though there was really too much. So it was hoyser, but it was also dai. Everything fit. The gold got heavier, I guess. But everything fit. B'derech Nes. That's the Binyan HaMishkan. Now, Be'emes, the whole Binyan HaMishkan was a response to the Chet HaEgel. Be'emes, there wasn't supposed to be a Mishkan. Be'emes, the Mishkan was supposed to be the Gufim of Klal Yisrael. Hashem was supposed to dwell in the Gufim of Klal Yisrael themselves, in each and every Yid. That's where the real Hashras HaShechinah has to be. Because we did the Egel, our Guf is unable to sustain such a Hashras HaShechinah, because it was Niskalkel, through the Chet HaEgel, similar to the Chet of Adam HaRishon, that its Guf was Niskalkel. So we have to build a Mishkan. But the Mishkan is still a place to be misakin our guf. And that's what we call a carbon. That the carbon, the Ramban says, the carbon, we do smicha on a carbon, and we have in mind that his head should be in place of my head, and his hands should be in place of my hands, and his feet should be in place of my feet. And we take the behema, which represents the behemius, the physical part of a person, the animal part of a person, and we're makrivan on the mizbeach to show our cheshek, that even our physical, even our guf, should be niskarev to avodas Hashem. Karbon is lashon of kiruv. What paid for the karbanis in the Mishkan? The Machzis HaShekel. Machzis HaShekel paid for the karbanis. So when every Yid gave Machzis HaShekel, that paid for the karbanis. So the Machzis HaShekel is really money given by each Yid to kind of give over his guf, give over his gashmias to the Beis HaMikdash. That's the kaifer nefesh of the Machzis HaShekel. We've mentioned a few times the remez in the Machzis HaShekel itself, that we know the Gemara says in Nida, and Taisus talks about it in Bava Kama, that there's Shleisha Shutfim Ba'adam, there's three Shutfim in a person, Aviv, Ve'imai, Ve'akadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara counts five physical attributes that come into a person from his father, and five physical attributes that come to a person from his mother. And kinegdom, there's 10 ruchniyistika attributes that come from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, which make up 20 chalakim of a person, 10 chalakim gashmiyim, and 10 chalakim ruchniyim. A shekel is esrim geira hashekel, there's 20 parts to it. And a machtis hashekel is 10 geira, that's meramis to the 10 chelkei haguf, the 10 chelkei haguf we give to the Beis HaMikdash to show our cheshek. Usually our guf tries to pull us away from the Beis HaMikdash. The act of Machzis HaShekel is to show our cheshek and our desire that our guf should, that there should be Hashras HaShechinah on our guf as well. That our guf shouldn't be devoid of Hashras HaShechinah, but our guf should also respond to Ruchnis. However, what? I'll take that. However, just like we said by the Nidvas HaMishkan, that the Iker is not the gold, the silver, the copper, the furs that they brought to the Beis HaMikdash. That wasn't the Iker. The Iker is the lev, Yivieho. They should bring the lev. That's Trumas Hashem. That's the Iker. Avada, the same thing is true with the Machzas HaShekel. We're not Matzliach to be Makar of our guf to Avodas Hashem by giving money. The way we're matzliach to be makarav el gufta avodas Hashem is by giving heart. Rachmana liba boy, is that we should be enthusiastic. We should have cheshek to be niskarav to the avodas Hashem. We should make that our top priority. And we encapsule that by giving a machzas hashekel. But the ikar is the nidvas halev. The nidivas halev. That's the ikar that brings the shechina into us. Pasuk says in Parshas Vayetze, Vayisa Yaakov es raglov, and Yaakov lifted his feet. So Rashi says, Yaakov heard such good news, Nosa libo es raglov, his heart lifted his feet, Benasa kal lechet, and it became easy to go. When someone's heart is excited, is has cheshek, is focused, is reaching upwards, so it becomes nasa kal aleches. He becomes a little bit lighter, a little less physical, a little less dragged down into the dirt. He's a little lighter, a little more zoriz, a little more ruchniistic. Nasa kal aleches. Nasa libay, such a beautiful lashon. Nasa libay es raglo. His heart lifted his feet. That's such a good description of what the Machzas HaShekel is supposed to accomplish. The Machzas HaShekel is supposed to be us giving over our guf to the Beis HaMikdash. I'm giving over my guf, what does that mean? That means that my guf is running in all different directions. Let's start even a step back. Hashem gave me a guf. And the guf has different senses, and different feelings, and different desires. And each one of those things are a vehicle to serve Hashem. But sometimes those things get a mind of their own. And instead of serving Hashem, they want to serve themselves. So how do we unite them under the flag of service of Hashem? That's the Machzas HaShekel. By giving over the shekel, and the Sfarim say that even though we don't have a Machzas HaShekel today, but by having those kavanas, we mekayim the inyan of Machzas HaShekel. And if we hear the parsha of Machzas HaShekel, and we have in mind such a thing, we're mamash being mekayim the inyan of Machzas HaShekel. By showing, by nasa liba yisraglov, that our lev should lift up our guf, that it should align all the kaychas of our guf under the flag of Avodas Hashem. No longer are we splintered, that we have this kayach heading us here, and this kayach pulling us there, and this kayach pulling us there, but rather we're all, our guf, all the kaychas and taivas and the tiyas of our guf, are all unified under the flag of Avodas Hashem. That's the nesina of the Machzas HaShekel. It's dafka kesef is a lashon of kisufim, of cheshek. It shows our cheshek. It shows our desire for Hashoras Hashchina to give to the makam of kedusha, to give kesef to the makam of kedusha. It unites all our kayachas haguf under the flag of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Very similar to what we said about the nidvas hamishka. However, Ad Khan is all yisaidis that we've said before, but here's, I think, an interesting nekuda. There's a big difference between the Machzas HaShekel and the Nidvas HaMishkan. And that is that the Nidvas HaMishkan, the Nidavas that they gave to the Machzas HaShekel was one of those Nidavas. But the rest of the Nidavas HaMishkan, each person gave as much as his heart lifted him up to give. Everybody gave Kefidar Madrega. Someone's on a low Madrega, he didn't give so much. Someone's a very high Madrega, he was very inspired, so he was Marvin Ma'am Lavi. You gave Kefi his Madrega. The Machzas HaShekel is a Dover Nifla. The Machzas HaShekel, every single Jew gave exactly the same thing. And if it represents Cheshek and Ga'aguim, it almost becomes difficult to understand. Every single year had exactly the same cheshek and ga'aguim? Every single year gave the same achtes ha-shekel? In the nidves ha-mishkan, you were able to be expressive, unique. Lagavi the machtes ha-shekel, everyone is exactly the same. Ha-osher lo-yarbe v'hada lo-yamet b'machtes ha-shekel. I think the Mahalach is like this. The Masechta Sanhedrin is a Mishnah that counts all the people that don't have a chelik in Eilam Haba. Eilu she'en lam chelik le'Eilam Haba. And the Gemara says that the Dorshei Rishumais were Dairish. Those who are Dairish Ramazim. Rishumais are Ramazim. That the Dorshei Rishumais were Dairish. That even those that don't have a chelik le'Eilam Haba, they really do have a chelik le'Eilam Haba. So it sounds like a machlokes. The Mishnah holds that they don't have a chelik in Eilam Haba, and the Dorshei Rishumais hold that they do have a chelik in Eilam Haba. And Reb Tzadik is ma'irich in the Sefer Likutei Ma'amarim to explain that it's not a machlokes at all. And he says like this. He says there's such a concept in Svarim called Rishima. A mark. That means that I could write something, and even if I erase it, there's still some roshim of the fact that there was something written there. And he says every single yid is born kaddish. Every single yid is kaddish. It's possible for someone to obliterate his kedusha, to wipe out and to erase and erase and erase and erase, chas v'shalom, to erase his kedusha until he becomes nidche legamri. But it's impossible to erase the roshim that the kedusha made. Some effect of the kedusha is always there. It's impossible to completely erase the roshim. On the surface, you see no kedusha, devoid of kedusha. You can't believe he's called a yid. It's a pella that he's called a yid. There's nothing, no kedusha. But the Dorshei Rishumais are those that were able to see the Roshim. They're able to see the little Roshim that's left. The spark that's left of Kedusha. So Chazal, when they said, Eilu she'en lam chelik le'Eilam Haba, that's in their vision. In their view, the way it seems now in this world, there's no makom attaching this chulin to the Eilam Haba. But the Dorshei Rishumais that would examine the effects of Kedusha on a person, they were able to see there was Kedusha here once. The footsteps are here. There's footsteps of Kedusha here. I don't see the feet anymore, but the footsteps are there. They saw that if there's some Kedusha, the person is still tied. It's Tzor B'Tzor Achayim. He's tied to Eilam Haba. It was also Chachamim. Come with that particular view, that particular talent. That's the Dorshei Rishumais. Perhaps this was what Moshe was miskasha with the Machtes HaShekel. How could it be? They're yidden on high madrigas, and they're yidden on low madrigas. And we know that even in the Dar Midbar, relative to the other yidden, they were yidden on higher madrigas and yidden on lower. They were yidden that the Anonim were pilots, that the Anonim spit out of the Hanani HaKovit. Those are the yidden on low madrigas. How could they all be equal in the Machtes HaShekel? How could it be? How could every yid be equal in the giving of the Machtes HaShekel? Ha'asher lo yarbe v'adal yamet niskash ha'moshe. Moshe couldn't understand it. Because Eilu she'en lam chelik le'Eilam Haba. Sometimes you don't see it. It's not on the surface. You can't see it. Until HaKadosh Baruch Hu opened Moshe's eyes because of Moshe's Kedusha. Because of Moshe's Madrega. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him the Machtes HaShekel, the Shekel Shel Eish. And Eish represents Cheshek. The flickering fire. The burning hot fire represents Cheshek. And he showed him that even though on the surface it may seem very cold and dry, but there's a burning fire of cheshek deep, deep, deep underneath the surface of every single yid, whether it's an usher or a dal, whether it's a wealthy person or a poor person in Ruchnius. There's still that cheshek is there. And that nekuda of cheshek is the same in every single yid. In some people, it's able to flame up and hit the surface. And some people, it just sits there. But the machzas hashekel represents the cheshek that lies deep underneath every single yid, no matter what, no matter when. That was neskasha Moshe. Moshe had a hard time with it. But that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him in the Matbea Shalesh. We mentioned in the past that I once heard from somebody that when we say that some of the Matzos HaShekels went to the Vavim La'amudim, that's the silver that was out of the Mishkan. It was part of the Mishkan, but it was on the outer part of the Mishkan. The rest of the silver of the Matzos HaShekel went to the Adonim, the shoes of the Krushim. That was part of the Etzem Mishkan itself, the walls of the Mishkan. The Vavim La'amudim was sticking out. It was sticking out of the Mishkan. The Vavim La'amudim represents the Yidden that they're sticking out of the Mishkan. They're not in the Kedusha. I don't mean that Stavka de'eilam chelik le'lamav. I mean the lower part of Klal Yisrael, the mochitzaniest thicker part of Klal Yisrael. The not karev to Kedusha part of Klal Yisrael, the part of Klal Yisrael that's less karev to Kedusha, that's the Vavim La'amudim. So I want to suggest a possibility that when it says that they were choshesh, that Moshe Rabbeinu stole the silver, of course they were not choshesh, that Moshe Rabbeinu pocketed the silver. That's not what it means. And avada, they couldn't be choshesh, because according to the Archaim HaKadosh, there was much more materials that were brought to the Mishkan that are unaccounted for, because they were all nivla into the Mishkan. Which that, I told you the kasha would get stronger. The pshat is like this. They were chayshah that Moshe Rabbeinu took these silver coins of the people that are on the low madrega, and he said, they can't be kovei Hashem la'atzmam. They can't sit, this silver can't sit in the Beis HaMikdash. And he was mavliya it, he let it get swallowed up, together with all the rest of the extra stuff. The Archaim says that all the extra stuff was swallowed into the Mishkan. Perhaps the yidn were chayshah that Moshe Rabbeinu said, Pliny's silver coin can't sit prominently in the Mishkan and be kovei Hashem la'atzmei his cheshek v'ashvayas hashchina. He's not on a high enough madrega. And they were right to be cheshed such a thing because Moshe had a hard time with that. Niskasha Moshe. Moshe had a hard time with that. Until Moshe found, no. There's the Vavim La'amudim. Even the Vavim La'amudim are part of the Mishkan. And that's where the extra silver is. So when they say that Moshe stole them, it doesn't mean that Moshe took them for himself. It means he took away the private ownership of them. He took away the bikavei Hashem la'asvi, that this is shayach to this yid, and this is shayach to this yid. And with his kedusha, he just was mavliyad into the whole nidvas ha-mishkan. It's not, you can't count, you can't find it. You could find the Bali Madrega, you could find their machzas ha-shekels. They're not Bali Madrega, you can't find it. It's all included in the cheshbon, you can't find it anymore. No, then the maskana was Moshe said, no, I want the Mishkan to be an edus, that there's a place for every single yid in the Mishkan. So we can stop here. But I want to just be Moisif Akadama to Purim. Over Rav Tzadik explains about Purim Katan. We know that there's another Rishon and another Sheni this year, And Yud Alav Adar Rishon is Purim Katan. Yud Alav Adar Sheni, that's when we do Purim. And the Mishnah says, Ein Bein Adar Rishon La Adar Sheni, Elo Mikro Megillah U'Matanis Lev Yonim. The only difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni is reading the Megillah and giving Matanis to Lev Yonim. Which makes it sound like, in every other area, Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni are exactly the same. The Gemara says, Taka, that just like an Adar Sheni, you're not allowed to do Hespit V'tainis on Purim, so to an Adar Rishon, you're not allowed to do Hespit V'tainis on Purim Katan. What about making a Mishta? What about the Sudas Purim? So Taisus and Megillah says, from the fact that the Gemara says that Hespit V'tainis is Aser, and it doesn't say that Mishta V'simcha is Chayiv, so Mishta V'simcha is not Chayiv. There's no Mishta V'simcha on Purim Katan, but there is, you don't make a Suda's Purim, but you still don't do any Hespit or fasting on Purim. Three kashas on this Taisus. Kasha number one. If so, that we don't do a Mishta V'simcha on Purim, so why isn't that in the Mishnah one of the differences between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni? Ein min Adar Rishon la'Adar Sheni ela mikra Megillah matanas avyonim. Why don't you say mikra Megillah matanas avyonim with Suda's Purim? Because Taisus says there's no Suda's Purim. Question number one. Question number two. How do you know there's no Hespit V'tainis on Purim? Where do you learn it from? The Gemara says you learn it from the fact that it says Mishta V'simcha. The Gemara Megillah says we learn the Isser Hespit V'tainis from the fact that it says Mishta V'simcha. So one second. Taisus. How could you tell me in the same breath that you're not allowed to do Hespit V'tainis, but Mishta V'simcha doesn't apply? If Mishta V'simcha doesn't apply, then you are allowed to do Hespit V'tainis. The whole makar of the Isser of Hespit V'tainis comes from the Chiyuv of Mishta V'simcha. Question number two. Question number three. According to Taisus, it comes out that there's only one thing similar about Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, and that is, you don't do Hespedim. In every other area, they're different. So how do you have a mission that says, Ein Bein Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, Elo, these two things? I mean, there's almost nothing, you don't see, there's no difference between this and this. You know, imagine, like, I'll say, the only difference between me and an elephant is that he has a long nose and four fat feet. And, I mean, the only difference, what's the similarity? The only difference between Adar Rishon and Adar Sheni, the only difference, what's similar about them? They have the smallest little similarity. It's a pellet. So Rav Tzadik has a mahalach. You heard this? Rav Tzadik says, that Be'etzem, Purim Katan and Purim in the second Adar are exactly the same. Exactly the same. The two Purims are exactly the same. Except that one, we do the actions of the mitzvahs of the day, and one is just belief. But the full Simchas Purim applies in Purim Katan, just like on regular Purim, the Purim of Adar Sheni, exactly the same. Just on the regular Adar Sheni, we're moitzi et alapayil. We bring it out in action, and on Purim Katan, we don't bring it out in action, it stays in our heart. That's the Yisaiter of Tzadik. With that, all three questions are answered. Question number one was that if there's no Mishta V'simcha on Purim Katan, so why don't you say it in the Mishnah? The answer is because the Mishnah just says mitzvahs, that there's absolutely no shaychus to that mitzvah on Purim Katan. Mikra Megillah is the Persume Nisa of Purim. There is no Persume Nisa on Purim Katan. We don't do it at all. Matanis Lev Yonim is also part of the spreading, the outward spreading of the nes. We don't do that on Purim. But Mishta and Simcha, when we rejoice, we eat the Suda of Purim. The whole purpose of the Suda is to be Mesameach our heart. What's the purpose? The purpose is to eat for the sake of eating. The purpose is because eating affects us, it makes us happy. That's the purpose of the Suda. It's true, there's no chiyuv to make a suda, but the happiness we are mechuyuv to have. So it wouldn't be right to just say a clear thing, there is no smishta v'simcha on Purim Katan. Because a good part of that mitzvah, which is the simcha shebelev, does apply in Purim Katan. The simcha shebelev applies in Purim Katan. And that also answers the second kasha that we asked. What was kasha number two? Kasha number two was, if the whole Isser of Hesped V'tainis we learn how from Mishta V'simcha, so how can you say there's no Mishta V'simcha and there's still an Isser of Hesped V'tainis? It's perfect. There's no chiyuv to do anything on Purim. An action. But you definitely can't do something that's a stira to what's supposed to be going on in your heart. And since Mishta V'simcha does apply, it just applies belev, if you would do a Hesped, it would be a stira to the Simcha Shebelev. So even though you don't actually make a Suda, but you still don't do Hesped B'tanit, because that would be a stira to the Simcha Shebelev. And it also answers the final kasha. It's true, we could say the only difference in Hadarishan and Hadasheni is Mikra Megillah and Matanis Levyanim, because in the entire lave part of it, of what I'm thinking about and what I'm feeling, it's exactly the same. It's just in the physical expressions that it's different. So that's the Rapsadik on Purim Katan. But of course, it's not satisfying. Because we have the what, we don't have the why. What's the pshat in this day? That when you have an adoration, so suddenly you have a yontif in Klal Yisrael, that's a feeling yontif. We don't have such yontif. It's a feeling yontif. Don't do anything, just feel it. We're not. We're very action religion. We do. We don't feel the luluf. We do the luluf. We don't feel the matzah. We do the matzah. We don't feel the mikra megillah. We do the mikra megillah. But on Purim Katan, we just feel it. What's the point of that? Zakhtar Tzadik, that the point of Adarishan, he says, just like there are Yidden that you can tell that they have a Chelek Leilam Haba, and there are Yidden that it's under the surface, you can't tell. Purim Katan tells us that even those people, that it doesn't break the surface, you don't see on the surface any Yiddishkeit, any Chelek Leilam Haba, there's still a reason to be Sameach, and they still have a Chelek Leilam Haba. Almost as if to say, and we'll say more clearly in a second, that Purim is for Yidden that you see why they should be called Yidden. Purim Katan is the Purim of Yidden that it's not apparent. You don't see that why they should be Yidden. You don't. What are they doing in Yiddish? Where's the Chelek Leilam Haba? What's their connection to Hashem? And still we do. We have a yontif of not doing. We have a yontif of Purim of not doing. That's Kenega the Yidden that don't do. Kenega the Yidden that don't do. Still not so satisfying. Why is Purim, from all the Yom Tovim of the year, why is Purim the Yontif that we have a not religious Purim? We have a not Chelek Leilam Haba Purim. What is it about Purim? Shad is, based on the Yisoy that we said so many times about what Mechiyas Amalek is. Amalek is not one of the nations in the world that we Mechiyav to destroy. Amalek represents everything that is evil in the world. Everything that is ra, everything that is bad in the world, is encompassed by Amalek. And as long as there's any ra left in the world, there's still Amalek. Amalek still has something to hang on to. It says that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to reveal to us how the good that Hashem did was good and how all the bad that exists in the world, all the evil that exists in the world, was really just another manifestation of Hashem's goodness. Just that we were too blind to see it. That's when we could destroy Amalek. That's when we could destroy Amalek, because then there is no evil anymore. There is no Ra anymore. Because we realize that even the Ra was really completely Tov. And that's the unbelievable Pshat of the Pasuk. We say, Va'olam Hashem Ba'artiyam Lishpatis Aresov, Va'isel Hashem Amalucha, Va'ya Hashem L'melech Al Kol Ha'aretz, Va'yay Mahu Yiyah Hashem Echo Dishmai Echa. It says they'll go up to destroy Esav. Va'olam Hashem Ba'ar Esav. Har Seir, Lishpatis Har, Va'olam Hashem. Is that he has a Pasuk? Ba'ar Tziyah and Lishpatis Har Esav. We're gonna go be Dan Esav. We're gonna destroy Amalek. V'ayisal Hashem Amalucha, and Hashem will have the Malucha. V'ayi Hashem L'melech al kol ha'aretz, Hashem will be the king over the whole world. V'yoyim ahu yiyah, that day will be Hashem Echad u'shmo Echad, Hashem will be one. Is Hashem one now? Yeah. So what do you mean, V'yoyim ahu yiyah Hashem Echad? It's the Gemara asks that question. The Gemara says, Atu ha'idna lav Hashem Echad. Now Hashem is not one. You didn't say tonight, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. He says, no. In a certain sense, we don't see the oneness of Hashem. We see two parts of Hashem. We see the good, and we see the din, the bad. We see Taiva HaMeitiv. Sometimes we make a Taiva HaMeitiv. We see Dayino Emes. Sometimes we have to swallow Dayino Emes. Sometimes we see good. It seems like a lack of oneness. But at that time, it's going to be clear how there's only a Taiva HaMeitiv. There's only one bracha to make. Because every single thing that happens, or that happened, be clear that it's coming just from Hashem's goodness. That comes together with Va'olam Hashem. Together with the destruction of Amalek is the revelation of how everything bad that ever existed or that it could possibly exist is really another manifestation of Hashem's goodness. Amalek can't exist anymore. Amalek is Ra. If you're Mevatel Ra, there's no more Amalek. And that's what Purim is all about. Purim is a day of Mechias Amalek. It's a day that the Yidden did a Mechias Amalek. They didn't fully destroy Amalek, but they destroyed a large part of Amalek. It was a Nitzachon of Haman, who was the inheritor of Amalek, and tried to destroy Klal Yisrael. It's a day of Mechias Amalek. A day of Mechias Amalek is a day of recognizing that even what looks bad, what looks distorted, what looks messed up, is also Kedusha, is also connected to Kedusha, is also close to Hashem. So Dafka Purim, which is a day of Mechias Amalek, we have Purim for those who do the mitzvahs of Purim, and then we have a Purim Katan, which is a Purim of the simcha that we feel. It's a simcha for us. Those people don't feel simcha. It's a simcha that we feel by recognizing that even those who are not doing the mitzvahs, they're also yesh lehem chelek le'olam haba. The Darshei Rishumais will see that they also have a chelek le'olam haba. The Svarim say that when Haman went out to Ahasuerus, he said, Yeshna Ya'am Echad, there is one nation that's from Mephuzim, Mephuzim, Deino, Amim, and so on and so on and so forth, and I'd like to destroy them. So the Svarim say, Yashnu, they slept, they're sleeping. Haman told Ahasuerus, and Haman told HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? Every melech is also HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Haman told Hashem, your Klal Yisrael are sleeping. They're sleeping. That's Yiddishkeit. That's enthusiasm for Yiddishkeit. That's doing mitzvahs. They're sleeping. Yeshnu, yashnu. They fell asleep. And with that, Haman took 10,000 silver coins, aseres alavim kikar kesef, 10,000 loaves of silver, and he gave it to Ahasuerus to try to balance out the machas hashekel of Klal Yisrael. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, I'm sorry. There was already a Machzis HaShegel. Klarikadimu Shekleim, Klal Yisrael already gave a Machzis HaShegel. How does that respond to Haman's Taina? Because of exactly what HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed Moshe Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu said, how could you have Yidden that are on such a low Madrega, and they have the equal Cheshek for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like Yidden that are on a high Madrega? How could that be? HaKadosh Baruch Hu showed him, no, if you look deep down in the lave, deep down in the lake, you'll see that every year is thirsting for Hashem. Yashnu, you think they're sleeping? The response is, Ani Yashena, I'm sleeping, Velibi Er, but my heart is awake. It may look like I'm sleeping, but my heart is awake. Every Yid says that. I may look like I'm sleeping. I may look dead on the outside, but my heart is awake. Ani Yashena, Velibi Er. That's the Machzis HaShekel. Hadala Yamath. You could be the poorest person in the world. You could be the poorest person in the world. You still bring a Machzis HaShekel. You're the poor in Ruchnis. You still have that Cheshek for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So when Haman came to Hashem and said, your nation are sleeping. They're Nenu Misudas HaShverish. They're feeding their Gufim. They're sleeping. The opposite of Nasa Liba Yisraglov. They're falling. They're sleeping. The response was, no, there's a Machzis HaShekel. The Machzis HaShekel says, Hadal lo yamit. Even the poorest Yid has a cheshek for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They're sleeping. Ani Yishena, I'm sleeping. V'libi er, but my heart is awake. Even the Vavim La'amudim are part of the Mishkan. Even those pieces of silver that are outside the Mishkan, they're also part of the Mishkan. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't steal them. Moshe Rabbeinu didn't take away their identity. Each Yid's Machzis HaShekel has its identity. And that's the response to Haman. And that's why we start our Adar Sheni. We started with the Parsha Shkalim. We start Parsha Shkalim because Parsha Shkalim is the message of Purim. It's the beginning of the message of Purim. The message of Purim is, that's why we have such a Purim cotton, according to Reb Tzadik. The message of Purim is, there is no such a thing as a heart, or even a part of a heart, that's permanently distanced from Hashem. Every single heart, that's talking about the broad Klal Yisrael, and every single part of every single person's heart. Sometimes people think that there are parts of them that are closed up from Avodas Hashem. And Purim teaches us that there's no such a thing. Every heart is close to Hashem, and every part of every heart is close to Hashem. The Hadal Yamed, even the poorest person in the world, still gives a Machzis HaShekel.